2v2 podcast.
Daddy,
Dave, and Steve
are awesome.
I was looking at stands. I want to try to get a Kindle stand or something like that. Maybe something that I can like sit the mixer there or whatever and have the stand like right here.
Yeah.
So that way I can have it and just kind of like easy access to it or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping at least.
You could get some kind of a box even, because they'll sit like this.
Yeah.
You can't really sit it on your board.
I mean, I can. I monitor the levels and stuff like that as we're recording. And this time I did make sure that it is the line in instead of the external speaker. So we are good to go.
Like, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. As far as I can tell, it's definitely recording off of the mics this time.
We officially have our first lost recording now, sadly.
Oh, no.
There was one you and Steven had done last year by this time when I was down on the island building that fence. And you were said, trash it. You sent it to me and said, this is trash.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. We're putting this out because it's just too enjoyable
to
have listened to y'all chatting about Dresden Files. But y'all, and I'm really sad, because you had sat down with...
Adam.
Adam.
Yeah.
And I really... And I haven't listened to it, because the audio is corrupted.
It's corrupted. There's something wrong with it, man. Whenever I was listening to it and just replaying it, it had some sort of, like... I don't even know what the noise was in the background, man. It's just... Like the one that you and I did, I have no problem like releasing that, even though I forgot to switch the mic. And what the issue was is there was an update to the drivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's so funny, or kind of, well, I won't say funny, it was basically ridiculous. It was ridiculous that Adam and I had started recording that day, he and I talked about 15 minutes. I looked down and noticed that the recorder had stopped at about like 3 minutes, and it was because the drivers had an update and they needed to be updated. So we had to stop. Restart the computer so that way it could add all the updates and stuff like that in, start it back up again, and recorded. Well, whenever we started back up again, beforehand, it would automatically recognize that I've got the USB plugged in here, and it would automatically record from the external speakers instead of the internal speaker on the or microphone on the computer. Well, it didn't do that. The day afterwards that you and I recorded on, I just automatically thought that it would still be switched over to the external microphones instead of using the internal microphone. And guess what? No, it wasn't. Oh. So there was two recordings that one of them, like I said, I know you said that you cleaned it up some, but like I
couldn't get rid of this weird.
Yeah, it had some weird
buzz going on that sounded like it was coming from, you know, a lot of times it'll be this buzz or electrical noise or something that you can do a noise reduction on, and it you can clean it up pretty good to where it's just, you don't notice it.
Yeah.
That I couldn't do, and it got to a point where I was trying to clean it up that it started distorting your voices.
Oh, really?
That's bad.
Yeah. That's too much compression or whatever.
And I missed that because he was talking about a trip. Right.
Yeah, he's talking about his trip to Ireland,
and I really want to hear that.
Yeah, and he and I were supposed to re-record again last weekend, and you and I were supposed to record again last weekend.
What happened there, Dave?
Oh, dude. Well, on Saturday, he and I were supposed to record, and that just didn't happen. And I was going to text him yesterday and say, "Hey, man, let's try to like get that recording session in." Issue with last Saturday of recording with Adam and this Saturday of recording with Adam is I just got lazy. And then Saturday last week was pretty busy, including going to, my buddy Ashley. You've met him a few times before. Yeah. He's one of my best friends. He and I are actually going to celebration here in 2 months and 20 something days and blah, 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 blah. So anyways, it was his birthday party. It was like a shared birthday party for him and his girlfriend and his girlfriend's twin sister.
Okay.
Their birthday was actually that Saturday and his was on Wednesday. And so not only that, but it was also the Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Well, the birthday party started at 8. The Cowboys didn't play till 7. So, and they were doing the birthday party at Main Event and Frisco.
How dare they have a birthday party during the Cowboy
game? I know, dude, right? And a lot of people were like, I can't believe you're going. I'm like, well, it's kind of a birthday party for like one of my best friends. So it's not that I have to go, but I wanted to go. Yeah. It's one of my best friends, right? So not only that, like I'd also like agreed to go, like they sent out the invite and I had already like RSVP'd saying that I was going before I found out that the Cowboys were playing at 7 on that Saturday.
Yeah.
So
it's your friend. I mean, the Cowboys, they'll play again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And
just not this year.
I will be honest. I don't watch a lot of games in public because I'm like a super easy to get along with person
until
it comes to like my sports teams. And it's just because I'm so competitive. Like I'm overly competitive, and I don't know if that comes from having siblings or something like that or what, but then what, I'm like really competitive about things, but then I'm really competitive about sports and games and things like that to where it's like, it's almost detrimental to myself because like I've done some stupid stuff, like really, really bad. Like there was a time we had gone to the Mavericks and Spurs game. It was game 3. And the first,
you've told me this before.
I have.
I haven't told it
on 2BT.
You sure you want to?
Yeah. It's all right because it all turned out pretty good. So, anyways, like it was game 3, Dallas Mavericks versus the San Antonio Spurs in 2006. So it's the 2005-2006 season, the first time the Mavericks went to the finals and they got beat out by the Miami Heat, which was completely bunk. There were some really, really bad calls in that final game that really shouldn't have been called and sending Dwayne Wade to the free throw line.
People can't see this, but I can see the anger coming back from all these years.
Yeah. All the way back from it's 10 plus years. It's like 13 years now at this point in time, and I'm still angry about this. But anyways, so we go to game 3, Dallas Mavericks versus San Antonio Spurs, right? It's an awesome game. The whole night was freaking just so much fun. It was me, my dad, and two really good friends of mine, Doug and Josh, aka Little Josh. So we're going to the game. I'm walking in. We're like all like kind of walking in. I'm kind of drifting back from the pack because I'm smoking a cigarette as we're walking in. So my dad, Doug, and Little Josh are kind of like walking together, and I'm probably about like 100 feet back from them, like kind of taking it easy, puffing on a cigarette before we go inside American Airlines Center. This is back whenever I smoked, of course. Don't smoke anymore, but you know. So anyways, as we're walking in, now mind you, hold on. Let me preface this with this. Mind you, I'm going in. I have my Dirk Nowitzki jersey. Mm-hmm. I have my Mavericks hat. I have my Mavericks socks. Ooh. I have on my lucky shorts and all like this type of stuff. But I even have my lucky shorts that are some Mavericks shorts on and underneath.
I wish I had a picture.
Dude, it was just absurd. Epic. Like, yeah. So anyways, as we're walking in, there's some Spurs fans right there in front of the American Airlines Center, and they've got a fake Larry O'Brien trophy with them. And now for those of you not in the know, the Larry O'Brien trophy is the NBA championship trophy. So as we're walking in, they've got this really cool, like homemade replica of the Larry O'Brien trophy. And as we're all going in, I see them say something to my dad. My dad says something back and they start talking trash to my dad.
Oh.
Well, so you've already like got two strikes against you because A, you're a Spurs fan and you're talking trash to Mavericks fans, but not only that, you're talking trash to my dad, so that's two strikes, so that gets me in like super defensive mode. So I walk up to him, mind you, I'm in all my Mavericks gear, like what I was talking about. I said, hey, that's a really neat trophy. Do you care if I see that? And they're like, no, here you go, and they hand it to me. And I look at it, and I sit there and turn it around a couple of times. I look at them straight, and I said, that's awesome, and then just proceeded to spike it right on the concrete to where it went in, like, 10 pieces. Like, it just shattered, like, went all over the place. I said, y'all have a good night, and walked inside. And as I get up to the I'm such a jerk, dude.
Oh, my God.
I'm such a jerk. So, anyways.
I can't say that I can completely condone your actions, but I get it.
Oh yeah. So as I get up to the entrance to the American Airlines Center, Dad and Josh and Doug had stopped to wait on me. We get up there, and of course there's the metal detectors and all like this type of stuff. So I start pulling stuff out of my pockets. And at this point in time, that's whenever you hear,
hey, Kojak, it still stands. It still stands, Kojak.
And like, they didn't even say anything. They just turned around and looked at me and said, what did you do? And I said, take a look at their Larry O'Brien trophy. And as soon as they did that, they look up and they see the Larry O'Brien trophy and like the basketball part of it like falls off the trophy and goes rolling away. Like, that's awesome.
See, I thought you were going to tell the story about how you got in a fight with a little kid.
Oh, no, that was a different one. That was, he wasn't a little kid, mind you. He was probably in his 20s also. But okay. That was an Indiana Pacers game.
Yeah.
And I was sitting, I don't know if I could tell that one because that was, I used some foul language in that one. And we were, like, the best part of that one was I was sitting next to our Aunt Jane, who was also my Sunday school teacher.
Yeah. Hey. You get worked up. I'm the opposite. I don't even watch sports. I think I watched part of a game with you this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
A couple of times here. And I think maybe with my father-in-law, we had a game on when he was over one day. But I just don't. Even when I did follow, I never got worked up. But I have memories of a child growing up in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
We'd all gather at on Sundays to watch the Cowboys play.
Oh yeah.
And there was a lot of people in our family that got a lot of hot heads, and I can remember a lot of anger and come on, Staubach! Or hatred towards like the Steelers, of course.
Oh,
the big
yeah.
bads back then, and like Bradshaw, that just all the bad things people would say about Bradshaw.
Oh yeah. Now everybody loves him.
Oh yeah, I've met him. Yeah. He's the nicest guy.
One
of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
He's a giant too.
Oh yeah, that's what I hear. I've never met him personally, but everybody I've talked to says he's like super nice and like he's a really big dude and all like this stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. I don't know him, but you know, I knew he was a pretty awesome quarterback. But anyways, so getting back, I had to stop and think of what I was talking about before I got into the story mode or whatever. So anyways, rewind a little bit. So I go down to Main Event for Ashley's birthday party. So go there. It's like starts at 8. I decide I'm going to get there at like 7 because the game starts at like 7:15. I actually got there like 10 minutes till 7. So I go inside, sit down at the bar, getting ready for the game. Blah, blah, blah. What do you do whenever you go to the bar? You have a few beers. I didn't really drink a whole lot, but I got enough to where I was feeling really, really good type thing or whatever. And like, I know, like, I got to cut myself off because I've had one of those bad, bad DWI things before.
You got put in timeout.
I got put in timeout. Was, you know, did the probation of like 18 months or whatever. So, like, I learned my lesson. I seriously learned my lesson. Right. I will not drive.
You do not want to go through that again, ever.
Oh, God, no, dude. Like, that is, like, one of the most horrible experiences ever. So, I stopped. I think, like, I had my last beer around, like, 9:30. And it was, like, almost midnight before I left. But I was feeling pretty good. But I can tell you straight up, like, no issues whatsoever. I was completely, totally stone cold sober at the time that I left at like almost 12. Like it was almost midnight whenever I left there. And not only that, the Cowboys lost. So that didn't really make very good. It was a fun evening, but like it could have been like way better. Let's just put it that way.
There's just this lull of depression kind of everywhere.
Yeah. Not only that, like we went to Main Event. We went to go bowling and like it was like, there was quite a few people there. I think there was 9 of us total because we had 4 people on one lane and 5 people on the other lane. Well, the way that you do it there at Main Event, you don't pay per game. You pay for the hour.
Yeah.
Which is a bunch of crap.
I agree.
Because like we paid, I played on the lane that had the 5 people and I didn't even get to finish. I didn't even get to bowl my last frame. Because the game ended. The time ran out. And it's like, dude, this is a bunch of crap. Mm. Like, it's just a bunch of crap, dude. Anyways, that's beside the point. Drive home. Everything's fine. Get home. Go to bed. And I wake up Sunday, dude. And I was so hungover on Sunday. Like, I had that, like, I like this beer. It's called Revolver Blood and Honey.
No.
Yeah.
I don't drink it.
Yeah.
But I know people that do. And it's there's something about that. I've witnessed the transformation of people drinking it.
Yeah.
I think it's got a lot more alcohol content in it than they put on the label because I have witnessed somebody that can drink, say, 8 beers.
Yeah.
Over a course of an evening.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Say a 6 pack.
Yeah.
And be, you know, fine.
Yeah.
I've watched the same person drink 4 of those and be completely blitzed. Therefore, yeah. That's bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'd had 4 of them that night. So I was feeling pretty good. But like I said, like whenever I drove home. You had a lot of
time in between.
Oh, I did. I definitely did. And like I was completely, totally sober. But whenever I woke up Sunday, dude, I was so like, so hungover. Like, you know that thing of whenever you wake up after drinking like heavy beer, like the big dark beers or whatever.
I like to call those loaves of bread in liquid form.
Yeah. And you wake up the next morning and you have that like beer gut and you burp and you kind of taste like the beer from the night before. Oh God. It was one of those types of hungover. I was just like, I was not feeling it on Sunday last week, man. I was just like, you know what? No, this is not good. Give me some eggs. Give me something to start, like,
yeah,
soaking this up, because it was
bacon and eggs, some grease.
Oh, yeah.
We, that same night, and I thought about coming over or doing it from my house, you know, over the phone or whatever.
Yeah.
And we had people come over. That was our, like, New Year's Christmas get together with a couple of friends that we hadn't got to hook up with.
Yeah.
And they came over, we played games. It's super late, staying up. And I hadn't been sleeping good anyhow for a long time.
Yeah.
That's another story. You know, not good, not sleep, not a full night's sleep.
I'm right there with you.
And the next day, we got up, home. Everybody, you know, it was me, my sister-in-law and her niece, or my niece was there, and my wife and kids. And we were just hanging out. And I just, like, they were watching something. I can't even remember what it was they were watching. So I went and was in the room reading some comic books on the bed. And next thing I know, it's like an hour or two later, and I'm waking up hearing, "Don't go in there. Daddy's asleep." And Lila was trying to find me. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what time is it? I was like, oh, crap. I forgot to contact Dave and see how he was doing, if he wanted to get together today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably for the best.
It's all good.
You gotta recover.
Did you keep pretending that you were asleep so that way nobody would mess with you?
Yeah. For about 30 minutes or so, I went back to reading.
Don't blame
me. I wanted to finish what I was working through.
Hey, those moments of like peace, whatever you've got the good ruse going on of like, I'm asleep back here, don't bother me.
I'm not a nap taker, though.
Yeah, I'm not either, dude. The only time I really take a nap is like either A, whenever I'm really, really tired, or B, whenever I'm sick. Like, you can tell, like, if I'm sick, like, I'm going to take a nap. That's how you can tell if I'm sick.
Well, that's the only, yeah. If I'm not feeling good, if I go lay down, I'll just pass out.
Oh, yeah.
One time I got back from a trip and I had caught the flu or something. I'd been fighting it, trying to not to deal with, cause, you know, stuff, you got a responsibilities, you got to step up and take care of them. And it's like, I looked at my wife and I'm like, I'm laying down.
Yeah.
And I didn't get up for like 2 days.
Yeah. Like, I'm spent.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was. It was a difficult weekend last weekend. That's for sure. But no, I'm right there with you, man. Like, I'm not a nap taker, like, especially on the weekends, man. Like, I don't want to waste my weekend, like, sleeping.
I
know that sounds ridiculous, like, but you know, like, I work too much during the middle of the week. And right now, like, I'm not complaining. Thank God we actually just got put back on overtime here recently. And that's like hitting at the perfect time, because like now is the time that I want money. Like, I always want money, but now is like, it's getting
a little bit extra would be nice for your trip to Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I just did my taxes the other day, which was really cool. So that's going to be like, I'll take that. That'll be like my spending money and stuff like that. This way I don't have to worry about like, oh, well, that's how much money? No, $150. Here you go. Whatever.
Yeah.
Plus, whatever extra I can get from working overtime and stuff like that, it'll be great. Just, you know, as long as the government goes back to work before April.
Yeah.
So, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No comment. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know.
It's a bunch of crap. I do know that much.
Yeah.
And that's the most I'll say on it, you know.
Yeah.
But I did hear that they're going to stop selling ladders and rope in Mexico, though, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Oh, Dave. Dave.
Yeah, well, it's just that's my thought on it. Is like, I'll let you kind of take that however you want to take it. You know,
I don't know how to take that.
that means I think it's a dumb idea to begin with.
Yeah.
Not saying we don't need some sort of security program, but that's not the answer. But anyways,
Yeah.
Getting back to our non-political talk, because I don't do politics, and you all should know that by now. But anyways, I did see the April. I almost dropped the bomb before I said what I was going to talk about. I did see where Game of Thrones season, the final season, got a release date.
Yeah, yeah, it did. And I saw the trailer for that. And
I haven't got to watch the trailer yet.
You need to check the trailer out. It's and I don't even know. I think it. I don't know if it's a scene they pulled from the actual recording, the filming.
Yeah.
Or it's something they just made special for.
For the
like release date,
yeah.
Information. Everything I've been hearing, they have apparently put in so much into this.
Like, really?
One of the CEOs of HBO has already watched it twice.
Oh, wow.
The whole season without any of the CGI effects.
Oh, wow.
And he said it is. And of course he's going to say this, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's kind of got to. They've got to
like it's amazing. It's like every episode is you're watching a movie. And you know, a lot of the TV shows are so good now. Yeah, it's like watching a mini movie every week.
Yeah.
But there is a difference between like an actual movie experience and watching a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he's saying it's, and Game of Thrones already was kind of that they're so well crafted and so well made.
Oh, yeah.
It was already like that, but I think what he's saying is they've raised the bar. Like, well, this is going to be something that everybody's going to have to match from now on.
And aren't they supposed to be like 2-hour episodes this season?
Hour and a half. Or everything's, I think, over an hour and a half. Yeah.
My disappointment was the actual release date. It's April the 14th. I'm going to be in Chicago in April the 14th. I'm going to have to try to stay away from social media as much as what I possibly can because, you know, people are going to be like.
I promise not to say anything.
People are going to be spoiling the crap out of that online, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure, like, I could always just download. Well, I've got my Kindle. I could take my Kindle and watch it on my Kindle, but like.
Do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm taking my Kindle anyways because that's always like my in-flight entertainment, basically, or whatever.
Yeah.
So, did I tell you about, like, getting the notification at work? It's been like, it was like back in December, I got a notification while I was sitting there at work. It says, hey, your flight's been changed. It's now, like, we were taking off at 7:00 in the morning and, like, that changed it to 6:50. And not only that, the type of airplane we were flying on a 737, it bumped us to a 787, which is a lot bigger. It's like, 787 is a Dreamliner is what it's called, but they're like brand new and supposed to be like super awesome. So that was like cool. But then I go to look on it and, you know what? I actually talked to Adam about it on the lost episode. I'm just going to refer to that as a lost episode.
The lost episode.
The lost episode. So it hasn't been released. So I pull up all my flight information and stuff like that. And I'd picked, like, I always fly, if it's like a 737, I always fly in like 7C or 7D. And it's a 3 on one side, right, 3 on the other side. It's 6 across, 6 seats. Well, anyways, those are the ones right there at the aisle, right there at the bulkhead, right behind first class.
So you have some space.
So yeah, I've got leg room like galore. So that way, not only that, I've got the bulkhead right there in front of me, but I've also got, if I need to, I can kick my feet out into the aisle and stick them up through the curtain leading into first class. Well, anyways, this had like changed me to like 20F or something.
Oh no.
So it's like way back, kind of like midway through the plane. And it was like, not only that, like it's 3, 3, and 3. So you got 3 on the side, 3 in the middle, and 3 on the other side. And I was like the middle seat, like both ways, like on the way out there and on the way back. And I was like, no, 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 you don't. That's not going to work, man. I mean, I was able to get my seat that I was going to get basically on the 737, but it's like a different, I think this one's like 8C now or whatever, but it's basically like the same spot. Just, yeah, but, oh, yeah, I can't.
Did you do anything about it or?
Yeah, I was able to like change my seating and stuff like that. So, cause I'd already paid for the seat upgrade and stuff. So like, I'm not even going to try to say like what that costs to like, to get like a decent seat that's not going to have me confined into like a little 2-foot square box, basically.
It's, at least it's a, even if you did get, it's a, not a long flight.
No, no,
but I
no.
couldn't imagine.
Yeah, like even still, like it's like a 2 hour and something flat, like close to 3 hours, like 2 hours and 40 minutes or something like that. But so it's not like a really bad flight. It's not like a really long flight, but that would still be like long enough to where it's like, yeah, no, this isn't going to work. And I might would go into a little bit of panic mode before getting to Chicago, because I've had them before to where I was like, kind of in the back, like not necessarily in the middle. I've always been able to talk to somebody into the, like being like, hey, can I really sit in that? Can I have that aisle seat? Like whatever. Because like I've like flying to San Francisco, it's probably like one of the longest flights I've been on. It was like 4 hours, maybe 4+ hours or something like that. Or maybe not quite. I can't remember. It's been so long, but I had to like, it wasn't like exit row and it wasn't bulkhead. So it's just regular, like, economy plus, or not even a plus, it's just like regular roach class is what I like to call it, you know? And it's like trying to shoehorn a size 13 foot into a size 8 foot shoe, you know? And it's just like, I had my feet, like, my legs were crossed and my feet were basically like in underneath me. And that was the only way that I could get in there to get my knees to not hit the seat back in front of me. So it was like I was constantly like leaning forward the entire flight because of the way that my feet were folded like beneath the actual, my actual seat. Just a pain in the butt. Dude.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's just miserable.
Yeah.
I've flown once when we flew to Thailand, and that was like a 24-hour trip total.
Golly.
Including a layover, you know. But you know, and it's, I liked flying.
Yeah.
But you know, once you hit that 12th hour in, there is no,
I don't know,
getting comfortable, and everybody starts getting a little bit
restless and
you know,
I just don't know if I could do it that long, man. Like, I think I would be good for like 6, maybe 8.
I think the first main flight was like, gosh, I'm probably going to get it wrong. We landed in Dubai.
Oh, wow.
And had an 8-hour layover.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I think it was like 12, 13-hour flight to there.
Yeah.
And then because of the flight, the airline gave us a room.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And shuttled us to the... But we couldn't sleep because reason we were going to Thailand was to take our youngest daughter there.
Yeah.
And she wasn't going to sleep.
Yeah. Well, not only that, like, that's not really enough time to really, like, sleep and get rested and get back on an airplane.
No, you're right. And then we, you know, the final leg of the trip to Bangkok wasn't that far. But by the time we landed there, it's just like, that whole being awake for 24-hour haze.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like you're drunk, but you're not.
Yeah.
You can't think clearly, and you're in another country, and you don't speak the language. And, it's an adventure. But, yeah, it's just miserable.
Oh,
You know. I don't know. I would really love to experience. And every time we'd leave the plane, you leave the plane and you walk through first class and you see the just nice big space.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, gosh, dang it. I just one time want to, like, if I won the lottery, one thing, and I would not make it a habit for life, but I'd like one time I'm going to go on a really nice, I might just fly like to Seattle first class.
Yeah. Just to do it, just to experience the flying in first class and have like the ample room and be actual comfortable on a flight for a change would be pretty awesome.
Did you see this thing? I can't remember the guy's name, and he's kind of like a professional traveler. He does like a travel blog, vlog, whatever. He goes around the world and somehow makes money doing it by posting pictures and writing articles and stuff. Well, he had so many freaking flyer miles, he was able to cash them in for, I think the cost, I think it was Emirates, which is a really nice airline.
Yeah.
The cost of it was an around the world trip, and it would have cost $60,000.
Holy crap.
He ended up spending $200 to facilitate getting this. And apparently the person writing the article about it verified that yes, it was very complicated for him to do, but he was able to do it.
Yeah.
And the flight was, basically he had his own room in one of these luxury.
Oh, yeah.
He had a room inside there. I think it might have even had a bed. And of course, they were like serving him caviar or whatever he wanted for $60,000. And he planned it to where he had layovers. Cause it's considered a single flight trip around the world, the only way he could do it.
Oh, okay.
But he planned it to where he had long enough layovers in each place he wanted to stop. And I think he had like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So that he was able to actually leave the airport, explore the city he was in for a little bit, then get back to the airport. And of course, because it's such a, he got like special treatment getting in and out.
Yeah.
No lines. He had his own entrance to the airplane.
Holy crap.
He didn't have to go through with a rabble like you and I. He had his own little lounge at the airport that it just sounded amazing. Yeah. I could never pull the trigger on something like that.
No.
But it seemed like a really cool experience for him.
Yeah. No, that's actually really pretty stinking cool, man.
Around the world, flying in your own private room.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just want to punch him in the face.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I was disappointed a second ago. I couldn't believe I hadn't put YouTube on my blasted Kindle yet. So I had to download, I was going to watch the Game of Thrones, season 8 official trailer, but I think I'll wait till after the show to watch it. But yeah, I saw some, like, I realized the last time you and I recorded, there was a lot of stuff that I was going to talk about and totally didn't talk about, and I just like completely totally forgot. So this is all a bunch of old stuff I'm about to go.
You didn't bring your Kindle in.
I didn't bring my Kindle in here the last time.
And you're welcome for me messaging you and say, get your Kindle ready.
Get your notes ready.
Notes.
Yeah, I've always got some sort of notes, just because I'm one of those people that if I don't write it down, I'll forget about it. I mean, how many times have I told you guys a story while we're sitting in here, and I'll forget about what the hell I was talking about in the first place?
We did that when we were talking about the sport. Your yeah, birthday party got into sports, exactly. And we probably would have. We always wind our way back around.
Yeah, yeah. It always, but, brings, always.
There's always
back
connections to get back to it.
Oh God, yeah. But yeah, man, like over like the whole holiday break, over the whole Christmas break and stuff like that, I did go to UNT, University of North Texas, which is in Denton, which is real close by where I live at. They've been doing this, I didn't realize it, but they do these once a month like star party things, and it's, you can actually go out to the observatory, the actual observatory.
Oh yeah.
And
that's at an old
abandoned missile base. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's one of the old Minuteman missile bases and stuff. But you can actually go out there and they have like these star party things. I guess you can like actually observe, like look through their big telescopes and stuff like that and check out the universe and stuff. So
that's awesome.
I found this by going through that, but I didn't know that they had like obviously they've got a whole astronomy department since they've got the observatory or whatnot, but they've got the, crap. I can't think of the blasted, those things where you go and you sit down and you kind of lean back and you're looking at all the different constellations and stuff. Planetarium. That's what I was looking for. That's the word I was looking for. The planetarium there, what they call the sky theater.
Yeah.
They do a bunch of different things. Not only do they do like the planetarium type stuff, but they do a bunch of different shows. One of them that I did find was this thing called it's like a Pink Floyd. Now it's not the Pink Floyd like laser light show or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Basically I've been to two of them now. I went to The Wall and Wish You Were Here. They're doing 3 different albums. They're doing The Wall, Wish You Were Here, and Dark Side of the Moon. So last month was The Wall. This month is Wish You Were Here. And next month was Dark Side of the Moon. And I think they just keep cycling them over in that order or whatnot. So the first one I went to was The Wall, which is a freaking fantastic album. Like it's probably on like, I was going to say in my top 10 favorite albums of all time, but I don't know if it would make the top 10, but it's definitely in the top 15 to top 20, you know, favorite albums of all time.
Do you think their music is still timely?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, those albums came out,
Oh, man, I could tell you.
70s to 80s, right?
Yeah, it's definitely the 70s.
My feeling, it's always like they were way ahead in sound.
Oh yeah.
Their time.
I mean, like, you can definitely tell, like, they're, you know, it's kind of like they are, I would say that they're definitely dated, but to me, they're still great. Like, The Wall was 79, Dark Side of the Moon was 73, and Wish You Were Here was 1975. Right, right. So it's all 70s stuff or whatever. A lot of that, like, electronic. Like,
but does it sound like a 70s music when you listen to it?
No, to me, it doesn't, because to me, like, 70s is that waka, 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 yeah. waka. You know, like, almost like the disco type, pumping that wah-wah pedal with the waka, waka.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. That's, that always like screams 70 to me or whatnot. But, gone to the Sky Theater twice for the UNT. It's like basically like a Pink Floyd series, or they call it the concert series is what they call it. So I don't know if that means they're going to do different artists after or whatever.
What's the experience like when you're?
It's way cool, man. Like, it's not like the laser light show or anything like that. It's basically just a bunch of like, CGI stuff, and a lot of it I didn't notice was like, if you've seen like, I know you can get it on, Amazon, but it's, Roger Waters toured a couple of years ago doing The Wall from front to back.
Yeah.
And you can actually get the in concert video of it. I didn't get it on Amazon, and I've seen pieces of it before. I haven't seen the entire thing, but I did notice that a lot of the CGI like clips that you're watching during this entire show was from that Wall series that he, the concert tour that he did or whatever. Yeah, so I'm wondering if it was the entire, you know, CGI's run that they did and that he did, you know, during the concert thing and just projected on the little dome theater thing.
Yeah. That's really cool. And the seats are comfortable.
Oh yeah. Seats are comfortable. As comfortable as like what a UNT or a college auditorium is going to be, you know.
Yeah.
They were more comfortable than like a normal college auditorium.
They're
I'd say
more comfortable than your seat to Chicago is going to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. More comfortable than my seat in the recording studio here. The
seats?
The torture chamber is more like it. One of these days, man, that's one thing I was like at work the other day, and it's kind of reminded me of The Office. You know, they're in the office whenever they had like excess money and they were trying to figure out what to
get a copier.
Yeah.
Get a copier.
Yeah. I need a new chair.
I need a new chair.
Yeah. Well, anyways, they got like new conference tables, new TVs. Like, they built this like wall of like TVs in the break room, which is kind of ridiculous because we didn't need it. And it's like, you guys had way too much money.
Yeah.
Y'all could have like given us all more than like a 1% raise. Instead, like, you could have like shared that wealth a little bit or whatever, but of course they're not going to. Like, they bought all new conference tables, all new conference table chairs and stuff like that, you know, like.
Where'd the old ones go?
They're all in like this one storage area, and dude, those things are comfortable, man. Mm-hmm. So I'm all like, I was asking like the head of facilities, dude, I was like, hey, what are you guys going to do with those chairs? Like, are you going to sell them? Because if you're going to sell them, I will buy a couple of them because I would like to have a couple of them. Like, they wouldn't fit in here, but eventually I will have a room that's nice and set up.
Move to the garage.
We'll find
a way to keep it heated and cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And like these are like the big, like, dude, they just, you look at them and you're like, those look comfortable. And it was stupid because like the conference room chairs that they have now are not comfortable at all in the least. And I think what the problem was is that people were falling asleep in those chairs.
Oh yeah.
And so they like decided to get some different ones. They're like, this will keep them awake.
Well, that's
like,
my problem with the new movie theater seats, the big comfy reclining seats.
Oh yeah.
I run a big danger of falling asleep because they're so comfortable every time I go. Right. Like, I can't put my feet all the way up. If I extend it up all the way, I'm out.
Oh yeah.
No matter what it is we're watching. I fell asleep the first time when my wife and I went to watch the Hobbit when it came out.
It
was the first experience with the comfy recliner seats in the theater.
Yeah.
And she kept elbowing me. She said, wake up. I'm like, I've been so excited to watch it. And it wasn't because I was bored. I was just like, I was tired.
Yeah. What was crazy, man, is like over the holiday break also, I went, this is a great segue. I've got to call it out. Over the holiday break, I went to the Perot Museum. They did this, Ultimate Dinosaurs exhibit was it's now moved, but it was there at the Perot for a while. One of the most uncomfortable chairs, and I forgot how uncomfortable they were. Like, they've got this like super awesome theater that's supposed to be like projecting in like 4K or something like that. And they've got these really crappy old school style seats. Like, do you remember the old school theater seats, movie theater seats? They've got those types of chairs in there to where it's like, whenever I sit down in it, like my knees were like just crammed into the chair in front of me. I was like, oh my God, this is stupid. Oh, this is horrible. The movie was neat. It was about Sue, which who I've had a love affair with for a long time, which is the world's most largest and complete T-Rex skeleton that's on display in the Field Museum.
That comes to life in the Dresden.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's super awesome though, man. That's one of those parts where like you get to that in the book and you're like, I was actually like wanting to like stand up and cheer and just be like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, just the thought of a dude riding a freaking T-Rex through the streets of Chicago or whatever.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. So anyways, went to that. And like, I had forgot how much luxury we have now in movie theaters.
Oh yeah.
I mean, cause even whenever we went to just regular like stadium seating and stuff like that, to where it was like the person's chair that was in front of you is now like way below your knee level or whatever.
Oh yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And you didn't have to worry about the person with the big hair coming in and sitting down in front of you and you not being able to see the screen, or the person with the giant cowboy hat sitting down in front of you and not being able to see like a third of the screen or whatever. we went to that and I was like, oh dude, really? Like this is, I mean, like I don't ever have to worry about somebody in my line of sight, but I'd have to worry about my knees being crammed in somebody's back to the point to where it's like, I want to apologize to the person in front of them. Just be like, in front of me and just be like, look, dude, sorry. There's not much I can do. I don't have any place that like I can
go. Moving, when you move, you bump their seat.
Yeah. And you can kind of see them like rocking forward a little bit. You're like, oh crap, dude, sorry. You know, but like the movie wasn't very long. It was like a 30-minute little, basically like the length of like, you know, like if it's on TV, it'd be like the hour long documentary series that you see on like National Geographic or something like that or whatever. But it was pretty neat. And like the overall, the exhibit was like really cool because it's a bunch of, dinosaurs from like the Southern Hemisphere. So it's not things that you normally get to see up in this area. Like, you know, we've seen T-Rexes, we've seen Velociraptors and stuff. And I was actually looking that up earlier because I went to this really cool museum in Utah like a long time ago. I can't remember the name of it. And it seemed like it took us like forever to get there. But it's like I think it was done basically because of like the Utah Raptor or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And like there was actual like the museum seems like it's built around like this dinosaur digged where they actually have like the bones are still like in the like wall inside the rock wall or whatever. So they've kind of like built the museum like around this like dig basically. And, man, I wish I could remember the name of that. I want to say it's like, it had to have been like Eastern Utah. Like I know it was in Utah, but it had to have been like Eastern Utah. Hell, it might have even been Central Utah. I can't remember. It's been so long ago now, but it was a great exhibit. Great experience, just really cool all around. Oh, I mean, same thing with like the Perot. The Perot was just a very, like, that was my first time there. And I dig science, you know, I dig history. Like, if you haven't been able to tell about, you know, if you've been listening to us for a really long time, you know, I've both showed, you know, deep interest in both subjects quite a bit. but the Perot is just, it was a very, very, very cool experience. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you haven't been down there, I'd say definitely go check it out. Just start at the top, work your way down to the bottom.
I've never been to that museum.
We should go one weekend, man. I'm like that or the, what's the one in Fort Worth? The Museum of Science and Natural History.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's great. It's I like that one
good.
A lot.
Pretty good.
Yeah. That was the one with the Omni Theater in it.
Just going to Fort Worth is nice anyhow, because all those museums are in the cultural district there.
Oh, yeah.
The Kimball, the Museum of Modern Art, and the Science and History Museum.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been to the Kimball.
Kimball, I love going there. Then there's also the Amon Carter Museum, which is really nice.
Oh, yeah. Is that the... Is Amon Carter the one that has the big collection of
Western art? Remington.
Yeah, Remington, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, really nice.
Yeah, it is, man, especially whenever you see those sculptures of Remington. I guess they're like bronzes. Statues. Like they're more. I was about to say that because he worked in bronze or whatever. And like whenever you realize how much of a pain in the butt it is to work with bronze.
Because it's cast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all like usually, I think... how that's done a lot of the times where it's like actually carved in wax at first and then they do a mold and blah, blah. It's really neat.
We always try to make it a habit to go at least once or twice a year.
Yeah. And, you know, definitely should just because like a lot of times you don't get like You know, it's not like museums do a whole heck of a lot of advertising and stuff.
True.
And you never know what really cool exhibits are going on. So it's best to just kind of like, you know, the way I see it, like you said, if you go like twice a year, you're always going to catch it.
And the Kimball has a really great, like really, really, really old, like it's sectioned off. I mean, you got a section that's mostly European and Renaissance and things like that, but they've got another great collection that's Asian, ancient, really old Asian art. And, there's another spot that has this really old stuff from like the Middle East.
Yeah.
It's just amazing looking at the amount of detail some of these ancient cultures were able to do with limited, you know, resources and tools.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that brings to mind that book that's coming out by Graham Hancock that I've got. I saved it.
Oh, you didn't?
It's America Before the Key to Earth's Lost Civilization by Graham Hancock that's coming out.
Oh, cool.
Which is...
And this doesn't come out till April. Like, yeah. I was disappointed whenever I heard that it was April.
But it's something to look forward to.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because I'm curious about what kind of craziness are they going to be hypothesizing here.
And that's the one thing I always forget whenever I'm, like, trying to figure out what to spend my monthly credits on and from Audible is, like... I always forget to search Graham Hancock or whatever.
Yeah.
This last month, like, I feel like a bad fan of this series. Like, so bad, so much of a bad fan of the series. Like, I'm really disappointed in myself because I really dig the Iron Druid series. Like, it's great. It's a fun series.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be the in-depth, like, awesome storytelling as what, you know, The Expanse or Game of Thrones and stuff like that is. It's more like, I always equate it to, like, along the line of The Dresden Files. Like, The Dresden Files is one of my favorite book series, but it's not that, like, super epic tales of, like, you know, like George R. R. Martin and James S. A. Corey or I was trying to think of the guy that writes, Old Man's War.
Scalzi.
Yeah, John Scalzi. You know, not going to be epic tales like those, but they're fun books. They're speed reads, basically.
But they're also, man, I haven't read The Iron Druid, but Dresden, he just packs so much into each story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's not a bad thing. I know where you're going because you're talking about The Iron Druid, right?
Oh, yeah.
You were kind of bogged down with some pretty... You were pretty bogged down with some pretty good books last year.
Oh yeah, this last year, I guess about two books. So 6 months out of the year last year was me bogged down with The Expanse.
Yeah.
And then, a little bit of that was also, crap. What was that? Well, of course, Red Rising. I think I was getting the Red Rising books last year also. Well, at least one book last year was Red Rising. Yeah. And then, what else was there? I can't remember. Anyways, but yeah, I guess Iron Druid, the final book in the series, book 9.
And that's meaning final.
As in the series is done. Yeah.
No more.
The name of the book is Scourged, and I guess it came out in April of last year.
Okay.
And that's like what gets me is like it's been almost a year that book has been out, and I totally didn't realize it. And it's like, whoa, like, crap.
How did you miss this?
Yeah. It's what I like to call just failing. But like I said, I had so many books going on last year. But yeah, it's fun. It's all right, though. I'm not gonna kick myself over it or anything like that.
It's like, don't look at it like you failed. It's a pleasant surprise.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because I actually had come up to, I guess it was like this month, and I was like, man, I've kind of run through The Expanse.
Have you started it?
No, I haven't.
Are you going to re-listen to the other books?
That's what I was going to get your opinion on, because I don't know if I should, because now that I've got it, I really want to start it. The only problem is it also caught me like right in the middle of going back through Red Rising, because I started that because I'd gone through The Expanse, you know, and I was like, well, what do I do now? And I didn't have a credit to get anything new and everything else I'd already listened to. And like, what is my go-to book right now that I love so much? What series is that? It's Red Rising. Like I said, I always have the first book usually downloaded on my listening device. So that way, whenever I'm at work and I'm out of everything to listen to, what do I go to? I go to Red Rising. And once I started, I don't want to stop the series.
Right.
You know, and so I just finished up book 2 on Thursday at work, and I didn't have to work on Friday. I had some stuff I had to do on Friday, so I didn't have to work on Friday. And so now I'm at the point to where it's like, okay, on Monday morning, whenever I go back to work, do I start book 1 of Iron Druid? and work my way back through the series. I mean, I've gone through that series like 3 or 4 times before. So that's
not, you don't necessarily need it because you know it so well.
It's just tradition for me to do that, though. You know what I'm saying?
My thing is, like you asked me, well, are you going to reread Game of Thrones series, the Song of Ice and Fire series,
when
the next book eventually comes out? I'm like, no.
No.
It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Too many words.
Yeah.
So my thing kind of comes down to, is there other stuff you want to read also? Or, you know, and how long are the books?
Yeah.
Are they about the length of the Dresden books?
Yeah, they're about the length of the Dresden books.
Probably could burn through them.
Yeah.
I don't know how many books a week can you get through?
It just depends. Like, if I'm able to actually, like, listen to a book and, like, not get distracted or anything like that, I can probably get through, like, a whole book. Whenever it comes to, like, a Dresden-style book, I can get through, like, a whole book, maybe even 2 books an entire week. It just depends, if I'm working overtime, and B, if I'm able to actually, like, put in my headphones and, like, concentrate on what I'm doing, you know, and stuff like that, then I can totally, like, just burn through books like nobody's business or whatnot. So that's kind of like been like the big like thing now is like, do I go back through the entire, because man, I will be honest, the book that was before this one, and I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but I just didn't like it. In the Iron Druid series.
Really?
It's something about it, man. Something about that book, it just didn't sit for me. Like, it didn't feel like, I don't know, like, I can't even, like, really put my finger on it to where it was like, I just didn't really care for
it
all that much.
The story, the plot, the way he wrote it?
Well, it had,
Hearn,
like,
the guy's name's Hearn.
Yeah,
right?
Kevin Hearn is the author. And then basically, like, the two main characters in the book is this Atticus O'Sullivan, and then his girlfriend slash like was his like understudy, what do you call those, apprentice, there we go, yeah. his apprentice, now she's like a full druid also, a girl named Granuel, and like in the book it had them like completely totally split off, like doing their own things or whatever and stuff like that, which is fine, but something about it just didn't
feel right.
Yeah, it didn't feel right. I don't know.
It's kind of like in The Expanse when they split up everybody.
Yeah.
You know, Holden went this way, Amos went this way, Naomi disappeared.
Yeah, and
Alex went home.
Yeah, and that whole book right there just basically had you on edge the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, whereas this one doesn't really build that tension like that. It just, I don't know, man. Like, it's something about it. It just didn't sit right with me. And so it's like, I get to that book and I'm like, ugh, I just really don't want to just go back through that book again. I've heard it like 3 times now. And it's just like every time I hear it, it's the same narrator and everything like that that's reading the book.
Wow.
So like, I've had that happen before with like the Dresden Files where they I think it was Ghost Story was the book. And, the book at the time, whenever they first did the first original, like, recording of it, they had a different guy come in and read the book because James Marsters wasn't available. Well, this is like book 12 or book 13 or something like that out of the entire series. So you've got all these other books, all these other 11, you know, 10, 11 or 12 books before that one that's James Marsters.
Yeah.
Built the good character of Harry Dresden, and then all of a sudden you throw us in with a different narrator, and it just didn't feel right. It just didn't sit right. He didn't say things a certain way that, you know, that you've already built the character as Harry or whatever, as James Marsters has as Harry, and then like all of a sudden it was like, this book sucks. And then a couple of years later they did a re-recording of it, and they came in and had James Marsters come in and do their narration on it, and now it's great.
Yeah, it's amazing how important that is. I hope they get compensated, really, the really good ones.
Yeah.
There are, Iron Druid is one I'm going to put on. See, I made a promise to myself, beginning of the year. I don't know, resolution or not. It's just something I promised myself. It's like, I'm going back. I've got a list of books that I'm looking forward to coming out. Red Rising books, Expanse books. I want to start the Iron Druid books and a lot of other books I want to read. Then I've got books that I want to reread.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cherry picking the very best books in my memory that, okay, I'm going to throw this in here after I do something because I just want to revisit it. Because it's nice to revisit something over time because sometimes either you might not like it as much the third or fourth time down the road.
Or you might like it a lot more.
Appreciate it even more.
Yeah.
And I've also promised myself that I'm actually going to read books that I've been telling myself I was going to read for a long time.
Like, okay.
You've seen my house. I've got...
Yeah.
I've got a problem. Like, I'm going to read this book someday, right? And I never get around to it because there's always something else new or I'm doing this or that. And that's why the book I've been doing, I brought up the last time, is this Thomas Pynchon book called The Crying Lot 49. Always heard about him.
Yeah.
He's always one of these... He's one of the great... authors. He's in that pantheon of great authors of the 20th century.
Okay.
I think he's still alive now.
Yeah.
So, but I'd never read him. I've got like two or three books of his. I'm like, okay, I'm going to tackle him.
And yeah.
Martin had talked about it with Nick about how much he loved him. I said, I got to make an admission here. One of my big holes is I've never touched on this guy. So I started listening to it. I did the audiobook because it's just so much more convenient to actually tackle it.
Yeah.
Don't like the narrator.
Oh.
But I like the book.
Okay.
So I'm going through with it, and the only I'm not going to bore people with, because it's not something I necessarily would recommend to everybody.
Yeah.
Unless you like language, because he plays with language a lot. It's very, it's like a genius, absurd genius.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of crazy stuff. It's very complex, and I'm like, you know how we digress all the time. Well, he'll set a scene, and then there will be a digression where either something's happening on the TV or the radio, or there'll be a memory, or there'll these weird things. I'm like, well, why are you doing this? About the middle of the book, I just pass. I'm like, oh, I see. This guy is a genius because everything ties together. There's this one little weird off in the first chapter. There's just one little thing. This lady, it's about a lady who gets notified that she's an executor of this very, very rich person's estate that just died, a former boyfriend or something of hers. She didn't want to do it. She doesn't know anything about it. And she goes on this long rambling adventure into this. It's a little conspiracy theory, mystery about all kinds of wackadoo stuff, crazy people. I call it absurdist because all the names of towns are like, you would never call a town San Narciso. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, there's a thing she gets in the mail. It's like a notice from the post office saying, if you receive anything that you're not expecting, report it to the pot master. Pot master is supposed to be postmaster, right?
Yeah.
No. You think it's just some weird, silly thing. He's being funny. Ha ha, pot master. No, it's an important thing later in the book.
Oh, really?
That it's all this, we dive into this really weird world of things that have been happening for centuries.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of hooked. It reminds me of, I don't know if you've read any Kurt Vonnegut. Kurt Vonnegut also has this really weird sense of humor.
Yeah. Right?
Kind of crazy, off the wall things he'll say, but he's very concise and easy to read. Usually it's like short chapters. Sometimes a chapter will be a page. This guy, and it's not necessarily big, long, complex sentences that just go on and on. This guy's like similar.
They're
both like these postmodern geniuses. But this guy, he loves saying lots of words. And he'll just do these rambling things that eventually do tie back into stuff. It's like, I wasn't sure when I started it, but I've gone on longer. I was just going to mention it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I've got these books I'm looking forward to reading. I've got books I'm going back to and seeing why. And this is why I had heard about them for decades.
Yeah.
That you need to read it. So now I'm glad I at least tackled this one.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to tackle, because, and this is a relatively short
book. I was going to say, are you going to do more after this one, or?
Probably eventually.
Yeah.
The rest of his books are really, really big.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It gets long winded.
But the narrator.
Just. Drives you up the wall.
He does drive me up the
wall.
Is
it just is it the voice or is it just
voice.
The, okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd really kind of put you
off. I walk down the street. I'm like, dude, come on.
Dude, that's like, I was listening to this book the other day. Actually, I'd actually finished off the day with this book at work, and it was like the narrator had this, it wasn't like a strong New York accent, but it was enough to where it was like, you know, like instead of saying huevos for like huevos rancheros, they said huevos. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, come on, dude. Like if you're going to be a narrator, at least get the pronunciation of the words and stuff like that. Like I know I say stuff wrong all the time. So, but I'm not getting paid to do this either.
I just wish they'd get everybody to have like an English accent or a Scottish accent. Cause I could listen to that all day long.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like we started, over the weekend, yesterday we had a choice of watching, two shows we were going to start.
Yeah.
One was a TV show called 1983, a Polish mystery thriller kind of thing.
Okay.
That has like 100% rating.
Yeah. What's that on?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And we were going to watch it and we watched, okay. And there's this other show called American Vandal.
Oh, okay.
Also on Netflix now, two seasons out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know they did a second season of that one.
I guess it just came out recently or something. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
So first we said we're going to watch one episode of each.
Yeah.
And then proceed. Everybody can, I said, well, my wife gets to decide. I like to keep her happy.
Yeah.
She gets the deciding vote what we continue on with.
Okay.
And, of course, when we started the 1983, like I said, it's a Polish TV series.
Yeah.
We could have set it to read the subtitles, but like my wife was painting while she was watching.
Oh, so you did the overdub.
So we did the overdub and boy, it makes such a huge difference. If they had at least got people with Polish accents doing it might have felt right.
Yeah.
Oh, it just didn't. It's a good show.
Yeah.
But then we started American Vandal. Since the turn of the new year.
Yeah.
My wife and I have tortured ourselves almost with these crime dramas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Making of a Murderer.
Oh, yeah.
The Innocent Man. I mean, yes, what we spent New Year's.
Did you watch that? Yes, yeah.
And it's just so hard. I don't know if you have the reaction.
People's lives destroyed.
Rips me up inside.
Oh, yeah. 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 Especially because you see the people, the innocent man.
Yeah.
Obviously, people's lives are destroyed because these two females were murdered. Well, not only that, but like the wrongly accused people that have spent like years in prison. And in fact, one guy basically drove him to death.
Yeah, when he got out,
he was on death row and like was up for execution, I think like twice or whatever.
And then missed one like about 30 minutes.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh wait, he didn't do it. You're free to go. And it's like, what the hell?
And he was a shell of himself and he aged.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see what it is. It's so much pain.
Yeah.
And watching it and you know, you're being manipulated.
Yeah.
By the way they make the show.
Oh God. Yeah.
So we jumped from that, and I kept telling myself, we really need to find something happy. Can we just... So instead, we jump into a show called Ripper Street.
Oh, wow.
This is a BBC show from the name Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper,
based in the East End of London, Whitechapel.
Okay.
Police. You're basically following these police detectives. It's kind of like three guys that are the core guys. One of them actually American, who's just a surgeon. He's kind of like a forensic genius. He kind of like has the knowledge of what you would see. Like he was coming up with ideas about how to test things.
Okay.
Before his time.
It's
the way they set it up. It's like Sherlock Holmes with extra.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just brutal because it's very good. But it's also very brutal and like somebody gets a gunshot wound in the head, you're going to see everything.
Oh, wow.
And like,
I can't do this right now.
After a while, it gets to be, and it's five seasons long.
Oh, wow.
Not like 20 episodes, it's more like five or six, eight.
Yeah. Well, with those BBC seasons, they don't do very long.
Not very long.
Yeah.
And it's just brutal because it's just, that's another one where they just like, oh, I really like that guy, and they just shot him in the face. I was really liking this person, and they, you know, it had its ups and downs where I was like, I could quit any time.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's only five seasons long. In the last season started, and I'm like, I'm done. This has just seemed something felt really bad in the first episode. Like,
yeah,
this seems like they're just writing it in now. This seems silly, but I was so glad we continued because the last two or three episodes in the series were some of the best TV I've seen in a long time. and not going to spoil anything, but there's one person who is a horrible, horrible monster killer. They did that trick. They did that George R. R. Martin trick where they take somebody that you hate and despise and actually make you feel kind of bad for them.
Don't you hate that,
man? And it was one of the most beautiful episodes I've seen of anything in a long time. So we jump from that. We get to this week and we watch the 1983 episode. And then we start this thing called American Vandal.
Yeah.
Okay. One, it is filled with things that are extremely inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
You will get very tired of one word and one image very quickly that they keep going back to. But it is a work of genius because it takes these shows that our culture has become addicted to.
Yeah.
And it shows you, it tears apart the way they make them because it keeps going back to the same thing. Okay, I understand this. I understand that Dyson or Tyson had 30 minutes and he's either at the school painting this or he was over here doing this. Stop showing the graphic and saying the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is funny. It's inappropriate. And at one part it feels bad. It's like, oh, they're making fun of the process. These other people are actually trying to do something serious about pointing a finger at things that are wrong in our criminal justice system. The first series ended. We actually watched the whole first series yesterday, which is only
really
it's 8 episodes, 30-minute episodes. It's not out. We didn't sit there 8 hours and watch it. No,
yeah,
and it was off and on during the day doing other stuff. I actually had a really. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
Or you're familiar. You know what
I've started it, but I know what it's about because whenever I first watched it, I was like, is this being serious or is this making fun of like the show's like
it is making but a murderer at the same and time, stuff like that. By the end, it has like a very powerful message.
Yeah,
that's like. My wife almost started crying.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, dude. They really turned this silly, silly, silly thing into something serious with a really positive message.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we started the first episode of the second one. I'm not going to tell you what happens in it. It is just if you don't have a strong stomach.
Yeah. So you didn't
look away.
Yeah. So you didn't start The Punisher?
No, didn't.
Punisher season two is
that? I think I'm going to have a hard time getting to watch that. I think my wife's lost interest, and if I can't get her, I'm going to get her into it eventually.
Yeah.
But, if I can't get her into it, I don't have a lot of time to watch TV by myself.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, like, I still haven't got to watch The Last Kingdom's newest season.
Oh, see, I haven't either. I started on that one, and then, like, I was like, I really want to read the books before I get up to this, because, like, the books are great, and it's, I don't know, man. Like, I dig the Last Kingdom series, like, both book and actual, like, Netflix series. Like, they're both really good. I just like, the book is just one of those that's so much more better than the actual.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the TV series of The Expanse. Like, I'm enjoying watching The Expanse, but I enjoy the book so much more than what I do the actual TV series. But yeah,
did you start Punisher?
I did start Punisher. I watched two episodes of it the other day and I haven't gone back to it just because I've been watching a bunch of other stuff too. So
yeah,
and I still haven't gone back to watch, Buster Scruggs or whatever it is either. I need to go back and
there's
finish that.
There's so much.
There is, man. There is. Punisher is the Punisher. It's really cool, but it's also kind of feels to me that like, it kind of feels like it's taking a couple steps back, you know, because to me, like, the embodiment of the Punisher that you see in like the comics and stuff like that, you know, Frank Castle had become that at the end of the last season, whenever, you know, he's sitting there with Billy Russo and he's like smashing his head into the glass and he's got the freaking bulletproof vest with the Punisher skull on it and stuff like that. That's what I want to see with my Punisher, man. I mean, and this season's just as brutal as what the last season was, but you know, it's more of like, well, he's kind of like on the run also. And he's also got like this other person that he's now helping and stuff like that and blah, 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 blah. But it's kind of like a weird, spoiler. It's kind of like a weird cross between like he's helping her, but yet he's also got her held like captive almost in a way. So yeah. And, so it's cool. It's good, but it, to me, it feels like it's kind of taken a couple of steps backwards. So it kind of like frustrated me a little bit. Plus, it's just hard for me to watch. Like whenever whenever you get to like those shows that are like an hour long and stuff like that, like it's hard for me to sit there and watch like four or five or six of those in a day because then I feel like I've burned my entire day doing absolutely nothing, which is fine because I'll sit all day long and watch movies. Like the other day I watched, I did watch that movie Mid-90s. Written and directed by Jonah Hill. Have you seen that yet?
Okay.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
We watched that and White Boy Rick.
I haven't seen White Boy Rick. This. Yeah.
What did you think of Mid-90s?
I loved it.
It's brutal, though. Really heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking, but yet also kind of like a feel-good story at the same time to where it's like, you feel so bad for the little kid, Stevie or whatever, Steve, you know, they call him Sunburn or whatnot. Like you feel so bad for him because he's got this very tumultuous relationship with his older brother.
His brother beats him. I'm not talking beating him, like punching him or pushing him around. He beats him.
Yeah.
And I never got to the bottom of the big brother.
I didn't either.
He had a lot of angst and anger.
Yeah. But it also had care for him also because, you know, it gets kind of wrapped up. I wouldn't say like, I mean, spoiler alert, if you fast forward this, if you're planning on really watching that anytime soon, because, you know, it shows there at the end of the movie where they're sitting in the hospital room and he gives him the orange juice or whatever. It's kind of like, to me, I kind of saw that as like a peacemaking type thing. Like, hey, we're going to work through this together now and stuff like that.
The brother, again, spoiler, and it's not so much. It's, you can watch this movie. I recommend watching it because shows it's the 90s skateboard. I've heard it called the skateboarding movie you've wanted to see.
Yeah.
And a lot of little different stories, a lot of different things. A lot of questions are left unanswered, I think, by it. But I think you're right. The brother does reach out but throughout the movie, he's trying to tell his brother, you're gonna get in trouble.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of things he shouldn't be doing because he's just trying to find a place where he fits in because he doesn't have that at home.
Yeah.
With his brother, and his mother is kind of
like, I guess she works a lot or whatever.
She works a lot. I mean, they have a really nice house.
Yeah.
She's divorced. She has the kids and they're kind of latchkey kids.
Yeah.
And they play a lot of Nintendo. Listen to music, and he discovers skateboarding.
Yeah. And it seemed to me like it was just like he discovered skateboarding as a means to fit in with a group.
Yeah.
Like he didn't seem like he really kind of fit in. Like obviously he was like pretty much mistreated by his older brother.
Right.
He wanted to find a group. And so he finds this group of skateboarders by just going into the skate shop or whatever and like overhearing these guys talk. And then he like, basically like goes back, gets a skateboard from his older brother and then goes back the next day and just is like hanging out. And then they kind of like befriend him and, you know, the story progresses from there.
Yeah.
It's like when I was watching it, like first off, I really dug that they did it on the old school 4:3 ratio.
Yeah. And so that threw me off a little bit at first, but it's neat.
Yeah. It was neat. To me, I really dug that because it just kind of like planted you, and not only that, like the way that it felt, like kind of like grittiness of it or whatever, kind of like made me feel like those like 70s like gang, not 70s like 90s like gangsta movies like that came out, like Boys in the Hood and Menace to Society and stuff like that, those that are set in like South LA and stuff like that there and like the 90s basically, like, and it's, that's what it felt like to me. So it's just like the, you know, doing the 4:3 aspect ratio along with that was really just kind of like set you like in the moment. And then like the music, the music was great. Like I kept like hearing stuff. I was like, oh dude, I remember that. Cause I hung out, like I didn't skate myself.
No,
but I hung out with a bunch of skaters.
Right.
You know, like a lot of my friends were a bunch of skaters and stuff like that. So I was like really, you know, whenever they were doing like, you know, looking at the kids like wardrobes and stuff like that. And like one kid had like the toy machine, like t-shirt. And then another kid had shorties and another kid, you know, just a bunch of things that I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, I remember that. You know, a bunch of just really, really like, it was really neat, man. It was, I dug the hell out of it. Like I was kind of one of those because I watched that this weekend and I watched First Man.
Yeah. I want to hear about this because I want to watch it.
Yeah. First Man is one of those that, like, there's a few movies that I will just go ahead and buy because I'm like, I'm going to love this movie. no matter what, because it's about Neil Armstrong and it's got Ryan Gosling in it. And I like both. I love the space program. I love, you know, anything about early space program, like the guys like, you know, Neil Armstrong and, yeah. and Gus Grissom and all like this type of stuff. I dig all that. So, you know, that's already two things. And then like, I really dig Ryan Gosling as an actor. So that was yeah. like another hit for it. That was like, okay, it's $14.99 on Amazon. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay the devil with it. I'm just going to go ahead and buy it and watch it. And I did. And I'm so glad that I did. Like, it's such a good movie.
Really?
Like, even like, all the way down to like the sound design and everything like that. Like, it's just excellent. Just excellent. Like, I loved it. Like, it kind of upset me a little bit because I watched it on Friday and it's a long movie. It's like 2+ hours.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm sitting here through the whole thing and I'm like, I'm not really getting tired, but I'm starting to get tired because it's getting past like my bedtime. Because I, you know, especially this past week, I was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be at work at 5:30.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to run on fumes at this point in time, building up to like the first walk on the moon, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, like for the last like 15 minutes, I fell asleep for like 5 minutes. I woke up and I was like, oh crap. I gotta rewind this. So I want to watch it again, like for its entirety, like all together instead of having to rewind well a little bit or whatever. Yeah.
Get a good, really absorb it.
Yeah. Because there was some things about Neil Armstrong that I didn't realize that, you know, like I didn't realize that him and his wife had had a child before that had passed away or whatever.
Really?
And stuff like that. So yeah, it's a very, very, very good story, man. Very good story.
Something I would definitely want to check out.
Yeah. That's the thing that bothers me about like digital movies. Like I dig buying movies digitally through Amazon, but I wish I could like be like, hey, Mike, take yeah. this home with you and watch it.
Yeah.
And I'd just be able to like share it to you, like send it to like your Amazon account. Be like, here, share this movie with Michael.
That would be nice if they give you the option of, you know, kind of like with Audible, you get to share
somebody's books.
First book.
You yeah.
know, share a book to somebody. Like you could share one movie and you know, they can control it once it's watched.
Yeah. Once it's been watched, it pulls it back to whatever, you know, yeah,
that would be neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the same problem with like, I'm buying more and more of the comics I read.
Yeah.
And books I read, you know, through Audible and the comics and books on the Kindle. Can't share them.
Yeah.
Like I can't say here.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Check out Red Rising. Just yeah. check it out. Don't spend any money because I don't want you to waste your money.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, no, exactly. And that's what bothers me about it is because it's like you don't have a way of sharing this digital media source or whatever, which is kind of bad because that's what has always gone on throughout our history, basically. Hey, take this tape and listen to it. Hey, take this record and listen to it. Hey, take this DVD home and watch it. Take this tape home and watch it. Here, read this book. Read this comic. Read this magazine. You know?
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, you need to read this, but I can't share it with you because it's, I've got it digitally. There needs to be some sort of,
there's an added perk.
Yeah, exactly.
For doing this.
To where you can like set like certain people up, like have your like circle of friends to where it's like, well, have like Michael and then my mom and my dad or blah, 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 to where it's like these people, they could access my stuff at any point in time.
That
my movies
really
or
neat.
Books, and then they could just watch them or read them at any point in time that they want to.
That's kind of like I've been reading this a memoir by Jeff Tweedy from the band Wilco.
Oh yeah,
right.
That's right.
Talking about when he's growing up and he formed this little group of friends and they'd go to the city to the big record shop and they learned early on it's like, okay, let's do this responsibly. I'm buying this. You, like, they'd each pick out 3 or 4, but they made sure they didn't duplicate.
Yeah.
They would, that way they had this library that they would pass around to share the experience with.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that is missed.
Oh, that's something that we did. Like, I can honestly say, and I'm going to tease something that we plan on doing. I can honestly say that one of the albums that changed my life was the 1988 release of Queensrÿche's Operation Mindcrime that we're going to do a dive deep into and kind of like do like basically like an entire show over on 2BT. We're going to do it before. It's 31st birthday, which was May 3rd, 1988, whenever it was released. I was noticing that the other day and I was like, man, I feel like we failed, but not, cause that is like one of the albums that like changed me, like changed like my, I wouldn't say like musical preference or whatever, but it was like one of those that hit me. Like Metallica's Injustice for All.
It's kind of like a mind opening or mind broadening. It's whoa, this is more than just,
this is more
10
than just
songs.
Yeah, this is more than just songs about like partying and chicks and stuff like that. This is actually telling a story, you know, whatever. And so like at that point in time, I didn't know music could do that.
No.
And that's like whenever I got it and heard it and I was like, you know, I had these like just pounding drums and like thumping bass lines and almost like growling and stuff like that.
See, I can feel it. I can feel that drum beat.
Yeah. Dude, Scott Rockenfield's drum beats, just like, you know, you start off that album and it's that anthem that it's starting with, you know, things like that. I can't even remember what we were talking about that got me off on that.
Just the whole aspect of sharing.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I
wouldn't be who I am today if you wouldn't have given that album to me and Steven and said, hey, y'all need to listen to this.
Like I said, just hear.
Yeah. Listen to this. There needs to be a way that we can still do this because it's kind of pointless to not be able to. I mean, it's awesome that you have these shared,
I know music is like Spotify and you can make your playlists.
And yeah. And you can share those playlists with people and stuff like that. But with like whenever it comes to Apple and like Amazon and stuff like that, you don't have a way of doing that with like movies and books and things.
Yeah.
So they're like, that's awesome that Spotify has that because I've actually had somebody build me a Spotify playlist before and like, this is the music that I love. Check this out. And it made me, you know, open me up to some new artists like this one artist by the name of Grandson, who's really, really cool, man. Dig him. Like if you haven't heard him, he's only got one album out and it's like an EP. I think there's like six songs or whatever.
What kind of?
If I can get my phone to open up here. Why are you not opening up? There it goes. It is a, it's rap is what it is, but I'm having trouble trying to, the album is called A Modern Tragedy Volume 1.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, there's, it's kind of like, almost like a rap with the beats being kind of like a what would you call that? I guess it'd be like the I don't, you know what? I'll just play a little bit of one of the songs here real quick. Where it's like the let me, I guess it's like more of like a hip hop type thing, and I'm trying to think of like the, what is that called? Because now is whenever it really hits.
I hear lots of different things it pulls from.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of really kind of hard to like say what it like. And then there's, you know, they kind of have that.
Oh, I've heard that riff.
Yeah.
What riff is that?
What is that? Oh, dude, what is that from? But it's, I dig it. Like, and like I said, like, I wouldn't be, you know, stop that. You know, I wouldn't have found that more than likely if somebody wouldn't have gone like here with Stitcher and made like a song play, a playlist from Stitcher for me to listen to, you know. And so that's, I really dig that through Stitcher. That's freaking awesome. But, you know, it also kind of stinks that you got to sign up for their service to be able to like skip through songs and like all like this type of stuff. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. We're getting close to an hour and 30, so I don't know.
I figure we're pushing that. I will say one thing about White Boy Rick.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
It's a good movie. The performances are pretty strong. it will make you kind of angry. It's along the lines of, it's based on a true story.
Okay.
Basically a 14-year-old informant for the FBI. The FBI used to trap a kid into, basically to keep his dad from going to jail. He got more involved in a culture in Detroit, drug culture, than he probably would have ever got involved with. And, a lot of bad things happened.
Okay.
And the guy just got out of prison.
Oh, wow.
I'll ruin it for everybody, but based on a true story. The guy just got a prison and immediately went back into prison.
Oh, wow.
Because of something that he was involved in when he was in prison.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting movie. The biggest thing is Matthew McConaughey plays the dad. It's kind of a movie framed for him, but the central person in the story is his son, Rick. He's Rick, plays Richard.
Yeah.
Wershey, and his son is Richard Wershey Jr., white boy Rick. And the kid that plays him, I was like, who is this kid? Who is he? He's tough. I mean, he's got these looks like the I don't care look down to a T. I'm like, what else has he been in? He's been in nothing.
Really?
They found this kid in a Baltimore high school.
Wow.
Hasn't acted professionally ever before.
Yeah.
In fact, the story is like they approached him and he's like, who's Matthew McConaughey? Unimpressed, I guess, you know, it's kind of the right kind of attitude for this character, because this kid couldn't care less what you're tough.
Yeah.
He grew up in a tough, you know, in Detroit on pretty much by himself, his dad, single dad raising him and his daughter, I mean, sister. And, it's an interesting movie. I'd say check it out.
I can dig it. Yeah.
It's not one I'd say buy. I'd say rent it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll definitely rent it. I saw that actually on Amazon yesterday as I was sitting there. I went to go rent that mid-90s. I'll probably wind up buying mid-90s just because it's one of those that I really enjoyed that much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah. All right. If you like us, you know, if you like the show, help us grow. Go by, rate us, and write a review. Just remember, please be kind. We like 5 stars. Also, go by www.nerdylegion.com/audible and sign up for your 1 month free subscription and 2 free books. They have hundreds of books to listen to, hundreds of thousands of books to listen to, along with speeches and different audio and podcasts. And like, they even do like I was looking at the Audible Select type stuff the other day. Yeah. That you get 2 free things of as well. Go by. You know, make your temporary profile if you want to, call it that, but you're wind up going to keep the subscription just because you're going to love it. It's amazing. It's a great service. Every week I say the same thing. I couldn't love Audible more. I just wish they'd give me more free books. Yeah. Cause right now I got to budget my credits all the blasted time. Also, if you want to contact us between shows, you can reach us at the2btshow@gmail.com. That's 2btshow@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter. That's the same thing. the2btshow. That's the2btshow. I think that's going to do it, man.
I am smelling like a rose that somebody gave me.
On your birthday deathbed?
On my birthday deathbed.
I am smelling like a rose. All right, so... with that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT. Signing out.
Adios. Oh, welcome to 2BT, everybody.
Oh, we never did do that.
We didn't do it. Yay. Bye.
I thought I did that earlier.
No.
I mean, you know what's funny? I was thinking about that earlier. It's like, I really need to remember to do the intro this week. I'm going to have to get the Death Star alarm again. So that way, like, I can sit there and see it and be like, oh, I need to say the... I got to have that visual that says, hey. Anyways. See,
I told... somebody posted something on our Twitter how we're going to be so organized and responsible and creative this week, and we just failed.
Ah, well, you know what?
It's all good.
It's all good.
Bye.
But there's the mouse. There we go.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com.